Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. First time I've sang after my... I don't have deep breath to go with, so that the high part was kind of nasally. I mean, it's all right. It'll be all right. Anyway. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Very familiar passage to most of us. Tonight we'll start a series of messages on daily in the Word. Daily in the Word. It's going to correlate a little bit with when Brother Stewart was here last year and having that daily devotion, even following the book that he's written a little bit. And so I hope that this will not be, some of this will be, repeat, review, things that we all know. But I hope that would be an encouragement to all of us to really consider if we're going to be rooted in Christ. I'm telling you, if you're going to be rooted in Christ, as I preached last Sunday, you have got to be rooted in His Word. You have got to be rooted in His Word and in the knowledge of Him. That's how we get rooted eternally, and that's how we stay rooted perpetually to continue on our course of pressing toward the mark to be like Him. I want to be rooted in Him. I've got to be consistent in my daily walk with Him. And this is the thing all Christians, all of us, struggle the most in. It's our Bible reading and prayer life. And soul winning, telling others about Jesus. And so these are the areas the pastor has to continually, and rightly so. Even myself studying this and being re-encouraged about our devotional life. Again, let me say again, very clearly, you cannot be rooted in Christ as Christ intended for you to be if you are not daily in His Word. And or at least consistently in His Word. But we ought to be daily in it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." As we read the Bible, as we learn from His Word, as we read the book, then the Bible says that He shall make our way prosperous and we'll have good success. Not the world's success, of course, but success that only comes from being and knowing the Lord. And I want to encourage you over the next few weeks. I hope it doesn't discourage you that the next few weeks we're going to be talking about reading the Bible. And I hope it'll be an encouragement to you on how to do that. How to have a daily walk. How to have a consistent daily walk. And maybe for some of us, as I study this anew myself, may kind of reinvigorate us all as we read the Bible and as we learn again about having that daily walk with the Lord. Daily in the Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that having a consistent daily walk with You is so very important. And we know in our own minds it seems so easy, but it's not. And I pray that You would give us grace, give us that divine enablement, the power that we need to follow You and to read our Bibles, to pray, to consistently walk with You, have that personal relationship with You, as You desire for us to have. And I pray, God, that You would help us as we preach. In Jesus' name, amen. A daily quiet time is not practiced by most Christians. And I will not have you raise hands today, but to see how many have had a daily walk this week so far. But I would submit to say to you, probably less than half in here probably have. And it's not my job tonight to necessarily make you feel guilty. It's not my job to do that. But I do want to understand that we don't believe in performance-based Christianity. I don't believe that if you don't read your Bible, that God's going to strike you with lightning. I don't believe that's going to happen. Right? Hello? Everybody with me? I do believe that reading our Bible is for our own good. And I do believe as we read our Bible and have that daily walk with Him, that it will help us in our life, practically speaking. I mean, help us as we combat various things in our life. Man, we got the world all around us, and we're constantly being bombarded with whether it's financial, relational, whatever it is, the sin that does so easily beset us, all those things that we are, the world's enticements, all those things that we do. We get dirty all day long, every day. And all we need the washing of the water by the Word. We need the washing. We need the cleansing. Are you saying, preacher, that's salvation? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the daily walk we have. The Bible says, take up thy cross daily and follow me. And I know I say this a lot, but it's worth repeating. Christianity is a daily process. Take up thy cross daily and follow me. We as Christians get to start over every day. Every day. You don't have to wait till January 1st. You may have already broke your New Year's resolutions. I have. I mean, I'm going to start again Monday on my diet. But we're going to keep at it. But as Christians, we can start over every day. We can go to the Lord in any moment and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I forgive me of this or that or whatever the case is. And start that daily walk again and keep on trucking. And that's been kind of my word lately, keep on trucking. But anyway, keep on trucking. Keep going forward. And we need that. We need that daily walk. So again, it's not, I want to reemphasize again, over the next few weeks, it's not my job to make anybody feel guilty. The love of the Father is not based upon whether we read our Bible or not. He loves you no matter what. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm glad that because I went soul winning last night, doesn't matter a hill of beans when it comes to how God loves me. Right? I did so because I love Him. And I want to serve Him. I want to do those things. And in return, He does bless me. And there are blessings that follow being obedient to God. But it doesn't earn His favor. It doesn't earn His love. And we really preached on that last year. And I hope it got down there deep where we understand that we don't and do not believe in performance-based Christianity. It doesn't mean we're not going to preach that we should do some things and not do some things. But understanding that's not based upon whether God loves us or doesn't love us. I'm so thankful for that. Our daily walk is important. Having that daily devotional time, having that prayer time with the Lord is very important. The Bible itself challenges us to be a reader, to read the Word of God. It says that we will be prosperous, that we'll have good success. And we could quote many other scriptures that talk about the results of reading the Bible is this, and that we will be blessed by it. We know this also not only by the challenging, by the Word of God that challenges us to read it, but also by the example of those in the Bible. Daniel, who prayed 3 times a day. We think about Abraham, who had a daily walk. We think about Jesus Christ Himself as an example of having a daily walk. And so we as well ought to have that daily walk. Many Christians don't experience the abundant life as Christ intended because of a lack of a personal daily walk with the Lord. I want to ask this question at the end of the sermon too, but do you believe when Jesus said He came to give us life and give us life more abundant? Do you believe that? And then I ask the question at the end of the sermon, are you experiencing it? In other words, we know intellectually that He said it, and therefore, you know, we know it's there. But do you really believe that Christ intended for you to, on a daily basis, to have an abundant life? To have a fulfilling life? Life was not meant to be endured, it was meant to be enjoyed. And as Christians, we ought to be enjoying life. Doesn't mean we're not always happy. Happy is based upon circumstances. But we ought to experience that inner joy that only comes from the Lord. And so when Jesus said He came to give us life and give us life more abundant, that abundant life definitely, no doubt, absolutely is connected to our daily walk. And as we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, there'll be rejoicing, there'll be joy, all these things as we have that daily walk with the Lord. And so we need that in order to experience an abundant life. I'm going to speak on that a little bit more in a minute. We need renewed every day. Take up thy cross daily and follow me. We need it in the morning. And I used to say to people, read the Bible whenever you can. And of course, if you have a night job, it's going to be different. Your morning is actually the next day. And whatever you need to do to have a daily walk is fine. But for those who have a normal work schedule, we ought to get up in the morning and read our Bible. We ought to get up just a few minutes before, have that daily renewal to start our initial day in the morning in contact with Jesus, having that walk with the Lord, and then continuing it throughout the day. And what will happen is, if you will begin the habit of reading your Bible, because as Christians, we mentally know that we're supposed to be doing it. And it's kind of like we know that we should go to church, right? Sometimes we don't feel like it, but we know Hebrews 10:25 says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I could quote this, but you understand, right? And there's times we do it out of obligation. We feel obligated to go to church and we go. But we know that once we get here, you feel better. You know, it's uplifting most of the time, unless the preacher's just stomping on everybody's toes. It's uplifting. It's encouraging. And so as you experience being more consistent at church, you experience that abundant life, you experience that joy, you experience, in other words, it, and I'm using the right word, it comes from being an intellectual assent to it to an experience. I don't want to just intellectually assent to the things of God and understanding that the Bible's real and whatever. I want to experience the Bible's real. How do I know Jesus rose from the dead? Because he lives in my heart. I experience it. Now, I'm not basing all my doctrine upon my experience. I intellectually agree. I intellectually see that in the Bible and I assent to it. But as I understand the truth of the Word of God, I'll illustrate it this way. I'm singing a song, whatever it may be. Are you washed in the blood? Let's do a better one than that one. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning, and depending how I sing it, you can get that going, right? And fair, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll, and I can sing that song without even thinking about it. Because it's an uplifting song. It's got a good beat to it. But I ought to be thinking about the song. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Do I believe that? Yes. Right? I intellectually understand that. But it also moves me emotionally. I experience. I'm one day going to experience, but it moves me emotionally. Am I making any sense to anybody? I don't want to just know the Word of God. I don't want to be at the other end of the spectrum as a Pentecostal either. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we emotionally get all, but I'm saying we experience it. I want to experience the Lord. I want to get up in the morning and have that daily walk with the Lord and not just do it because I'm mandated to do it in the Bible, but because I know as I do it, it's going to do something for me. I know that sounds a little selfish. I'm not meaning for it to sound that way, but I'm saying it does something for me. I've experienced it, and therefore I want more of it. Cool? Isn't that neat? I think we have to get to that point. You say, preacher, I don't desire to read the Word of God. Well, the whole point I'm getting is start reading it. Start reading. Yes, at first it may be difficult. At first the spiritual appetite isn't there. But you make yourself do it. I don't like vegetables to a certain degree, right? But I know that I need them. If I go to the Lonesome Spur up in Justin to the cafe, if you're with me, I'm going to order chicken fried steak, loaded mashed potatoes, and macaroni. Nothing green on my plate. If I do order green, it's going to be fried okra. I don't think that counts, does it? Okay? But I know that's good for me. I'm really going to go overboard with this illustration because I have experienced it, and I know it's true. Some of you who are health nuts will know this. You get off sugar for a little while. Get off sugar for, not completely, but off of sweets for a month. And I promise you, vegetables taste different. Try it. I know it. I've experienced it. You get off of most of the sugar and the sweets. How many of y'all have experienced that before? Vegetables taste different. They taste better. I don't know how that happens, but they do. Okay, so your taste buds adjust to that, right? Well, the Word of God will do the same thing. It's a meal. And as you're feeding on that, and yes, at first it may be kind of tough to swallow, especially if you read some parts that kind of, the Word of God's sharper and powerful than any two-edged sword, seeking to divide asunder, join tomorrow. I'm telling you, it may be tough at first, but it may not just be the conviction. It just may be tough for you at first. But keep it up. And I'm getting way ahead of myself, but keep it up. And you'll not just intellectually assent to the Bible, you get to experience. It's like being in a service, and you say, man, that was a tough service today. I didn't really get a lot out of it. But you come to the next one, and man, all of a sudden, the hairs on the back of your neck stand up straight, and you not only got to hear God's Word preached, but you did experience. I don't mean to say that having hair on the back of your head is the only experience. I don't mean that the way it sounds. But you get to experience it. It touched you. You felt it. And I'm telling you, if you're a Christian, you've been a Christian very long, and you've never experienced and felt the moving of the conviction or the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life, you're missing out. You are really, really missing out. I have yet to go to a revival meeting where I didn't get moved by it here at our church. It's an amazing thing, especially the last 2 or 3 years. It's been amazing that I go home And I go home changed because I've not just heard the Word of God preached, but I've been moved by it, by the Holy Spirit's impact in my life. And so I spent a lot of time running in circles there just to say, I want to do more than just read the Bible. I want to read it enough, read it long enough as I develop a spiritual appetite for it, that it moves me and I experience more than just reading. The Bible is alive. It's a living book, and it will do more for you than you can ever imagine. Some of you may have never read it long enough and been consistent enough to experience what I've been talking about. You have no idea what I'm talking about. But if you'll do it for a month, and there's not really a set day or a set time, but you do it long enough, and I promise you, at some point, it'll change in your life. And as we intellectually assent to the Word of God in the morning, initially, we assent to it, we read the Bible, it washes us, it cleanses us initially in the morning, and we continue throughout the day fellowshipping with Him, and then it's day after day after day, experiencing that daily walk. Again, initially, intellectually, it may be a habit, and you want to form. By the way, it's good, we all have our bad habits, so it'd be good to form a good habit. And scientists, those who study, human development and so forth, they say it takes about 21 days to quit a bad habit. It takes 21 days to develop a good one. I think it's about 30, 21 to 30 days. And so you might keep that in mind. You might set out a 30-day period and say, I'm going to read my Bible every day for 30 days, and let's see what God does in your life. And you might be very, very, very surprised. The Bible says the new man, not the old man. Remember, when we got saved, we became new creatures in Christ, right? Old things have passed away, behold, all things become new. We became a partaker of the divine nature of God, and so we became a new man. We are born again, understanding that we still have the flesh to deal with. We have the old man to deal with, and we have the new man. The new man is renewed day by day, through that daily walk with the Lord, a daily cleansing, a daily washing. As I said, we get dirty every day. We're bombarded on all sides. And you wouldn't even have to leave the house to be bombarded on all sides. And so we need that daily cleansing as the Bible describes it. The daily walk with the Lord, as Joshua said, will help us to be prosperous and have good success. Look there at Psalm chapter 1. Some of you will know the scripture, but let's turn over there. Psalm chapter 1. Most of you got it memorized. I'd quote it, but I'd mess it up. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. By the way, I want to remind you, when the Bible uses man, 9 times out of 10, it's speaking of mankind. So it's speaking to ladies tonight, all right? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the Word of God. And in his law doth he meditate day and what? Night. And if he does so, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So, the person, the Christian, who is careful about what they do, where they go. In other words, they're trying to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, trying to live the Christian life as God intended for us to do. And then has that daily walk and loves the Word of God. The Bible says he'll be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers of water. I don't know about you, but you look out, especially get out in West Texas and some of the areas where there's not a lot of trees. And the only place you find trees is next to rivers or creeks. And even around our area, you go to some of the places, you'll find that the biggest trees, the healthiest trees, are next to creeks, water. Well, because that's where the water is. And the water is the Word of God. We'll be like a tree planted by the river of water. We want to be healthy spiritually. You want to be the biggest tree? Be planted by the rivers of water. And that's by loving and reading your Bible daily. Having that daily walk with the Lord. Having that. By the way, those plants that are watered bear more fruit as well. And so if we want to be fruit bearers, as God intended for us to be, then we need to be planted by the river water, planted in the Word of God, rooted in the Word of God, as we preached last Sunday. Think about this for a second. David wrote the psalm. David, and Brother Stewart points this out in his devotional book, David only had 9 books of the Bible when he's writing this. We have 66 books, right? When Joshua wrote Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, he only had 5 books of the Bible. Maybe 6 if Job was before, and probably so, right? We have 66 books, and yet many times we neglect the books of the Bible. So Romans 13:14 also says, make no provision for flesh. As we get up in the morning, as we take that first few minutes or that first 30, how many time you spend, and we take that time, we not only are we cleansing and not only are we washing, but we're also thwarting, if you would, the flesh. We are combating the flesh. In other words, as we read the Bible, we're keeping the old man at bay. We're checking him. We're checking him first thing. I want to live in the new man today. Lord, help me to live in the Spirit, not the flesh today. I want to walk in the steps of Jesus today. And so we're keeping the old man in check as we make no provision for the flesh. And so as we get up in the morning, as we wipe the sleep out of our eyes, and we crucify the flesh a little bit and have some self-discipline to get up a little earlier and read our Bible, God will bless that. The Lord will bless that. It keeps the flesh at bay. As we think about the ultimate illustration, when it comes to reading the Word of God, we think about John chapter 6 when Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He's referring to when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they had nothing to eat. And they began to cry out and murmur against Moses and said, you brought us out here to die. Would to God we had stayed in Egypt. And so Moses went to God and God gave them what? God gave them manna. God gave them every morning, except for the Sabbath, which is Saturday, every morning they get up in the morning and there would be bread on the ground. Little pieces of bread. And so it would require them to do some work to get it picked up. But the Bible speaks of it called angel's food. It was sweet as honey, and it was not just like, you know, unleavened bread. It was sweet bread, and it was good to the taste. And again, the Bible describes it as angel's food. When Jesus in John chapter 6 says, I am the bread of life, he said, I am that manna come down from heaven. I am that bread of life. And as Moses, he said, Moses didn't give you that bread in the wilderness. God gave you the manna in the wilderness. And even so has God given you his son and this manna from heaven. And he who eats of the bread of life will live forever. Amen, right? This bread, this manna, is referred to in conjunction with the Bible. The Bible we hold in our hand is manna from heaven. God, again, provided the manna to sustain life there in the wilderness. I'm not going to turn there, but you might look it up later. Deuteronomy 8:3 speaks about the manna not only being for nutritional value, but was also for the spiritual. It was about spiritually, to show them their need for God. Later on, they got quail in the evening. The quail just showed up in the camp in the evening. They just picked it up off the ground. Jerk its little head off. Morning and evening. Morning, the bread was on the ground. Evening, the quail came in. Morning and evening. Remind you of anything? Morning and evening. Having that daily walk with the Lord, morning and evening. I would say evening for me is probably the biggest neglect in my life. Having that walk with the Lord at the beginning of the day and trying to develop one at the end of the day where your very last thought as you go to bed. By the way, if you're having trouble sleeping, you got insomnia or whatever the case is, don't count sheep. Get your Bible out and start reading it. Devil hates when you read your Bible. He'll put you to sleep. And I know some people have physical problems. I'm not talking about that. But I'm just talking about you lay in bed, you're worrying about stuff. Just start reading your Bible or start praying. And the devil puts you to sleep. He don't like that. There's a devotional by Spurgeon called Morning and Evening. There's a reason why. Because it's a biblical principle. Speaking of having that daily walk, morning and evening. Everyone, by the way, everyone has devotions in the morning. It's just whatever you're devoted to. You know, devoted to the kids, devoted to job, but everyone's going to be devoted to something in the morning. And I want my first devotion to be to the Lord and taking that time first thing in the morning. We think about, again, the same analogy. We think about Egypt, when the children of Israel came up out of Egypt. In Numbers chapter 11, I'm not going to turn there. We already lack of time. We've got about 5 minutes. But Numbers chapter 11 is where they were coming up out of Egypt. They were there in the wilderness, and they began to complain and murmur and complain about the manna. So they got tired of the manna. We're tired of this manna. We want the melons and the leeks and the spices of Egypt. What about the beatings? What about the slavery? Isn't it amazing how they forgot so easily the bondage they were in when it came to the fleshly appetite? It really did. By the way, we do the same thing. We'll forget pretty easily once we kind of get in that mode of supplying the fleshly appetite of how good it is when we are in daily walk with the Lord, when we do those things which please the Lord. It's amazing, isn't it? Until we come to the place where it comes back to bite us. I'll cover that in a minute. Canaan land. So we have the provisions of Egypt, cucumbers and melons and leeks and versus the manna. But again, they forgot about the slavery. They forgot about the bondage, the beatings. And then we have Canaan land. This is the promised land that God had given to the children of Israel if they would cross over into it. By the way, in Canaan land, there was houses already built. If you look it up, Deuteronomy chapter 6, chapter 8, chapter 11, Numbers chapter 13, it speaks of the land flowing with milk and honey. It speaks of houses that were already built, wells that were already digged, vineyards that were already planted, olive trees already planted. The Bible describes it as a good land, and it gives out lists after lists after lists after lists of all the good things in the land of Canaan, including to the spies going in and it requiring two men to carry one cluster of grapes. Wouldn't you love to have that? You have a cluster of grape the size of a cantaloupe. Wouldn't that be awesome? A grape the size of a cantaloupe? I don't know if there was that or if there was just a whole bunch of little ones. But my mind says there was one this big. That's just the way my mind works. Bigger is always better. I have many stories running through my mind. But look at the land. Look at Canaan land. Corn. He said, there's already corn in the silos. I'll use that term. There's already corn in the barn. It's already been harvested. All you got to do is cross over. You just got to cross over Jordan. You got to cross over into that abundant life. And we don't have time to go into it. We will over the next few weeks. But again, that analogy of the wilderness being a faith or a sight-based Christianity and crossing over the River Jordan is a faith-based Christianity. And I want to live the abundant life. I want to get to that place in my life where I experience it on a regular basis. And you can as you develop that daily walk. Canaan land. Canaan land. The abundant life, described in the Bible as a land of rest. The analogy, or the temporal, physical, and outward of the Old Testament previewed the eternal, spiritual, and inward of the New Testament. In other words, if we look at New Testament truth, the Old Testament gives us an analogy or picture of New Testament doctrine, New Testament truth. Previews for us. What Canaan land was physically, is what is available to us spiritually as we walk daily with Him. As we walk daily with Him. We need a daily walk with the Lord. A spiritual diet. I've gone on many, many physical diets. But we all need to be on a spiritual diet. It'll help us along for the spiritual, spiritually. And Egypt is a picture of the sensual and the pleasing of oneself for a short period. By the way, that's what the world has to offer. The things of this world will be pleasing for a moment, but will fade quickly. I want the abundant life that doesn't fade quickly. Help us. As we think about living the Christian life and having that daily walk, it's back to that dying to self every day. I crucify myself daily. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, not yet I, but Christ live within me. I live that crucified life. A crucified life, or that abundant life, is a life of satisfaction. When they crossed over the River Jordan into the Canaan land, it was a land of rest. They battled for a little while, and then they had rest for a very long time. fully satisfied. The bread of life satisfies. The world does not. And the things of the world do not. Somebody has said the most important meal of the day is breakfast. I don't know if that's true or not, but the most important spiritual meal of the day is your daily devotion in the morning. Do you believe Jesus when he said he came to give you an abundant life? Have you experienced it? I would say to you, I would submit to you, is directly connected to your daily walk. My relationship with the Lord, my relationship with Jesus, is connected to that abundant life. As I abide in the vine, I'm the branch. I'll bring forth fruit. How often do you read your Bible? How's your relationship with the Lord? Would you consider it close? The world's diet versus the spiritual diet. Egypt, it's like candy. I like candy, especially chocolate. I could eat a lot of it. But you eat too much of it, even as an adult, especially those with diabetes, it'll come back to get you. Either by way of not feeling well or by way of adding pounds to the old body. World's diet versus spiritual diet. In Egypt, candy, melons, leeks. Spiritual, the bread of life. Corn, vineyards, olive trees. Egypt produces a bellyache. I have some other things written down. Versus being fully satisfied. You want to be fully satisfied? You want to, as we're going to be preaching here pretty quick in Philippians, you want to live, as Paul lived, a life of contentment? Have a daily walk. It'll change your life. Change your life. Just want to encourage you. Have a daily walk. Maybe hard at first. If you haven't done it in a while, maybe hard at first. And it's hard to sustain one. And I go back, I'm not kidding at all. The devil doesn't want you to have a daily walk. He'll do anything he can. He'll put every obstacle in the way he can. But you just got to come back to it. You say, well, how many times do you have to come back to it? Every time. How many times do you forgive somebody? Every time. 70 times 70. What Jesus is saying there is every time. You just keep coming back to it. Well, preacher, I've been trying for 20 years to have a daily walk. Well, try again. Try again. And God will bless you for it. All right, let's all stand. Hymn 337, Trust and Obey. Lord's touch your heart. I hope maybe here over the next, we'll probably preach on this 4 or 5 weeks and give you some helps and some hopefully some encouragement in your daily walk. How to experience the abundant life through your daily walk. And be rooted in Christ through your daily walk. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. I pray that you would enable us by your grace to have a daily walk with you. Thank you for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. As you sing, trust and obey.
As we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no